Good afternoon, everybody. The Justice Appropriations Subcommittee will now come to order. Amora, please call the roll.
Chair Plakin.
Here.
Vice Chair Caruso.
Here.
Ranking Member Gottlieb.
Here.
Representatives Beltran.
Here.
Benjamin.
Here.
Byrd. Davis.
Here.
DeSegli is excused. Fernandez Barquin.
Here.
Garrison.
Here.
Gregory.
Here.
Learned.
Here.
Mello.
Here.
Rayner is excused. Sabatini.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
We have a quorum. Welcome, everyone. As a reminder, please make sure we're following the COVID-19 protocols as it relates to masks, which means you have to wear them even when testifying, if anybody's here to testify. Please make sure all cell phones and other devices are on silent or off. And today we're going to consider a one-member bill and then move to the consent agenda, which is five appropriations project bills. So we'll go ahead and get started on the member bill, which is CS for House Bill 279, traveling across county lines with intent to commit a felony by Representative Snyder. Representative Snyder, you're recognized to explain CS for HB 279.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member. It's an honor to be in front of your committee today. Thank you for giving me the privilege. Before we get started, I know I reached out to everyone on this committee, but I did receive some feedback from Representative Rayner. I know that she's not able to join us today due to a family emergency, and I know she had shared that she welcomes prayers for what she's dealing with, so we're sorry that she's not here today. The reason I am here before you is to present House Bill 279, traveling across county lines to commit a felony. In Florida, crime as a whole is decreasing throughout the state. But if you zoom in to analyze the data, you will find a disturbing trend that shows a startling spike in the number of burglaries and grand thefts happening in Florida. In my area of the state, down in South Florida, several counties, including St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade, have come together to form the South Florida Burglary Task Force to crack down on these specific crimes. What they have found is that the spike in criminal activity is directly tied to traveling bands of burglars and criminals that move throughout the state targeting vulnerable communities. What this bill does is allows law enforcement and prosecutors the ability to increase the charge by one degree when an individual crosses county lines with the intent to commit a burglary or a grand theft. This will send a clear message that Florida is not the state to travel from county to county preying on vulnerable communities. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you. We have no amendments. Do we have any questions for members? Vice Chair Caruso, you recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for the bill. Is it correct that this law is already on the statute? And could you explain the deficiencies of the current law and how it would allow for better use of the current law on the statutes?
You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Vice Chair, for the question. Yes, Florida Statute 843.22 currently does deal with traveling burglars. What this bill does is adds grand theft to that list of chargeable offenses and cleans up some language around the threshold that prosecutors have to prove to reach or to be able to convict on this enhancement. If you'll see in the bill analysis that currently only one charge has been brought forward surrounding the existing statute. And what was quickly determined was kind of a two-part threshold that prosecutors had to reach. And so what this bill does is clarify the language on how they reach that conviction of a traveling criminal, and that it also brings in the grand theft charge as well.
Thank you. No further questions.
Representative Benjamin, you're recognized for questions.
One of the things I used to do was be first of all, thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things I used to be was a criminal defense attorney. And so my understanding of criminal law is that we hope that these laws will be deterrents from people committing crimes. So tell me, how often was the attempts made to use the statute that we're trying to make better? Did we deter people from committing these crimes that the statute was enacted to do?
You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and great question, Representative Benjamin. There is no quantifiable data to say how many times this original charge was brought forward. I believe after that first precedent was set that the standard was simply too high, that prosecutors moving forward no longer even made the effort to pursue this one-degree enhancement.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
You recognize?
Can you give me some more insight as to what that standard was?
You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Or is.
So the way that the language currently reads is that to be able to convict on that one-degree enhancement, that the state must prove that the travel or the intent of the travel was specifically to thwart law enforcement's ability to track the stolen property. And so what the prosecutors found is arguably all stolen property is stolen with the attempt to thwart law enforcement's ability to track that property. And so to try and tie the purpose, the intent of the travel back to the intent that travel was done specifically to thwart law enforcement's ability, it was a standard too high. And so what this bill does is simply remove the portion surrounding with the intent to thwart law enforcement's ability to track the stolen property and simply state that if the intent of the travel was to commit one of these two offenses, then that's an enhanceable offense.
Mr. Chair.
You recognize?
So it's not that all I have to do is commit a crime, one of these enumerated crimes, in another county, and that should be sufficient, where the state only has to prove that the crime was committed and that you reside somewhere else. Is that what this bill does, or am I missing it?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So you're close. What this bill does is specifically say that the state must prove that the intent or that the travel was tied to the intent to commit the crime. So for instance, if an individual who resides in another county, who let's use as an example, is at a work assignment for a couple of months and they commit a crime, that is not an enhanceable offense. The investigators must prove that the individuals made the travel with the intent to go commit one of these two felonies.
Mr. Chair, one last follow-up.
Sure, go ahead.
Why no bond until first appearance? You know, a lot of counties have standard bail for these types of crimes. Why no bail until first appearance? Why not allow the county to handle it through its standard bail process?
You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quite simply, Rep. Benjamin, it's tied to the frequency and the lack or the disregard of current consequences tied to these offenses. There simply is too much of an incentive for individuals to engage in this behavior, knowing that at worst, it's a third degree felony, which which is in many cases nothing more than a slap on the wrist in today's judicial system. An example that I think really speaks to that topic is an article from August 18th, 2020, that states that a group of thieves behind burglaries of nearly 30 homes couldn't have been easier to find. They carried out the heist while wearing ankle devices that pinpointed their precise locations. More than $150,000 in cash, an AK-47, a Smith & Wesson handgun, cell phones, iPads, jewelries, designer handbags, ammunition, blank checks, fraudulent debit and credit cards, and stolen vehicles were among the items seized by authorities. And the purpose of sharing that article is it simply highlights that three individuals who were currently on probation with ankle GPS monitoring devices still had such a total disregard for the current statutes that they were still willing to engage in a cross-county burglary spree. And so the purpose of the no bail is to allow prosecutors ample time to determine if this was in fact a cross-county crime, and to allow prosecutors to be able to take the appropriate steps in that investigation.
Mr. Chair, just to this particular thing, one last one.
Go ahead.
Do you have any data that suggests that perpetrators of these particular crimes take into consideration the degree of the felony that they're engaged in when they engage in the conduct of stealing?
You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I do not have any data specifically to that point, but we do know that certainly within criminal enterprises, there is a strong degree of research and awareness to the law that does happen. You know, for instance, in petty theft, it's common knowledge at the street level. Do not steal more than $750 to avoid that grand theft charge. And so we believe that with law enforcement and the state's ability to share this information, to send a loud and clear message that cross-county burglaries and grand theft will not be tolerated in the state, will send a chilling effect throughout the traveling bandit community.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Representative, I have a question. Has your local sheriff weighed in on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, sir, I have. I've worked closely with Sheriff Snyder out of Martin County to make sure we get this law just right.
Thank you. Please tell him I said hello. With that, we'll go into public testimony. We have Kara Gross with the American Civil Liberties Union, waves in opposition. We have Pamela Birch Fort, Florida State Conference of NAACP branches. It also is waving in support. Is there any debate on the bill? Representative Garrison, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and Representative, thank you for bringing this good bill. I'm proud to support it. In my district, in House District 18 in Clay County, one of the problems we have seen for many years is property crime, specifically burglary and theft-related offenses. A substantial percentage in the northern part of Clay County or comes as a result of cross-county travel from Jacksonville, and it's been a problem for generations, really. And the last two or three sheriffs have made this a priority. I know it's a priority for our local sheriff, so I want to thank you for bringing this good bill. I also want to thank you for including a provision about offenders having to see a judge at first appearance. As you know, 99.9% of all felony offenses will see a judge at first appearance. This would just be a quality control measure to ensure that a local judge can put eyes on an individual case and ensure there are sufficient safeguards to ensure the appearance of that person at their court proceeding and also the safety of the community. I think it's a great bill. I'm proud to support it.
Representative Fernandez-Burkin, you are recognized in debate.
No, Mr. Chair, I was just trying to get your attention to make sure that Rep. Davis was in line. Thank you.
Thank you, colleague. I appreciate that.
Representative Fernandez-Burkin recognizes Representative Davis. You're recognized.
Thank you. Chair, I did not hear the opposition and the proponents of the bill, so I was asking if you could repeat that. that for me?
Sure. It's the ACLU is opposed, and the Florida State Conference of NAACP branches, both opposed. Vice Chair Caruso, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative, for this bill. You know, for too long, I have heard from my constituents how their, you know, cars are stolen and they end up in Miami port in a container and they're gone. And that's through GPS. Or contractors, their trucks stolen, lawn maintenance guys, all of their equipment stolen, and they end up in containers in Miami. And it's a constant attack on our communities. And it's, I think this bill goes a long way to stop that. I understand what Representative Benjamin was leading to, but to sit by and do nothing, it would be wrong. I think, you know, these criminals just wreak havoc on our communities and our law-abiding citizens, and anything we can do to limit that or prevent it will go a long way to making for safer and better communities. So I'm up on this bill, and I hope everybody else is. Thank you.
Representative Benjamin, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know I'm probably on the losing side of this particular argument, but I feel compelled to say that this sounds like one of those bills that says, I'm gonna be tougher on crime. Like when judges get elected, they say, I'm gonna be tougher on crime. But our history shows that these acts of being tougher on crime doesn't actually deter crime. Crime still happens. Those neighborhoods are being targeted not because they're weaker in defense or they're somehow more vulnerable than any other community. They're being targeted because they're more affluent. And they're more affluent, and the people who are going there are less affluent. These are issues of economics and opportunities. Making laws tougher or giving tougher penalties to current laws only acts to lock up people for a longer period of time. It doesn't make us safer. It doesn't make our communities better. It makes us feel better that we can say that we identified a problem and we acted tougher on it. My only real issue with this approach is, in its practical application, it never really works. So I'm down on the bill.
Ranking Member Gottlieb, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. I've heard the debate. I've heard both sides. I'm up on the bill. I'm a criminal defense practitioner. I actually represent one of the individuals you were talking about in the pretrial release case. They were on pretrial release, not probation. It's academic, the difference. They're wearing electronic monitors. The reason I'm up on it is I understand what you're talking about when you're talking about these groups that steal. And I think that what people need to understand about the bill is, number one, enhancing a crime does not act as a deterrent, at least in my opinion. I've practiced criminal defense for 30 years, and I've seen that it really truthfully doesn't act as a deterrent. However, we need to look at the societal cost. And the retail association, for instance, is hit with grand theft after grand theft after grand theft from stores. And I think what your bill does, and in speaking with you, is it's looking for the individual who's really trying to sort of secret their identity by traveling from one county, you know, where perhaps they're known, to another county. And as you said, this is a ring. So I think it's a step in the right direction in order to protect homeowners and to protect business. But I'm voting up on the bill not because it has a deterrent effect. I really don't think that it does, but I do think that businesses deserve our protection. At the same point in time, I agree with Representative Benjamin. We really need to try to find other ways. Listen, this is the law committee, but through economic incentives, through our education system, we really do need to find other ways. And I'm not talking to you necessarily in this bill, but to those of us in the legislature, we need to find other ways to ferret out the parities that we have in society between those that have and those that don't, the haves and the have-nots, because that's really, I think, what the objection that I'm hearing is about, because people are committing crimes out of necessity very often. And I support the bill. I think it's really hard to prove intent. Intent is what we call an operation of the mind. So unless you can prove that this group is going from one county to another for the express purpose of committing a felony, I do think as a criminal defense practitioner, that's going to be difficult. But I see where you're going. I know you're going to continue to work on the product, and I'm up on it for today.
Representative Beltran, you recognize.
Thank you, Chairman. We're talking about these types of crimes, these high-end property crimes. We're talking about a crime where somebody's weighing the risks and benefits of committing the crime. They're committing the crime not because they're angry, not because they're bored. If you're stealing this amount of merchandise or money or whatever it is, you're doing that to make a living. And those types of folks who are committing crimes to make a living are the ones who are most easily deterred. I'm not saying deterrence is perfect. Deterrence isn't going to deter all crimes. It's not even the objective. It's one of five or six penological purposes for why we would incarcerate or fine or otherwise punish somebody. So it's not all deterrence. But if you're going to get deterrence, you're going to get deterrence here for these serious property crimes. And these are not really comparable to the other types of crimes where we've, for example, we bumped, we're talking about the felony threshold. We bumped the felony threshold, and that was something we did several years ago, and we're talking about CJR and other areas such as drug crimes. Drug crimes, people say they're victimless. We can talk about that another time, but this is definitely not victimless. This is stealing from another person. These are not victimless crimes. These are serious crimes. So they need to be punished accordingly. And the last thing I'll say is, if we're not incarcerating people for this type of thing, there are these theft rings, especially on this high-end theft crimes, that people need. They don't need to go away for a terribly long time, but they need to go away for long enough that these theft rings will be broken up, that these folks will disband, and they'll have time to think about what they did. And when they get out, they'll hopefully do something else. So for all those reasons, I'm up on the bill.
Okay, seeing no further debate, Representative Snyder, you're recognized to close on CS for House Bill 279.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members, for not only the support, but those in opposition. Steel sharpens steel, and we truly want to get this right. One thing I'll close with, Representative Benjamin, is that the purpose of this bill is not simply to be a deterrent, but through case after case, when you have individuals who in the 20s and 30s have continued to be arrested, to be charged with a third-degree felony, and go right back to it again, it's not just the property value that makes this bill so important. It's the fact that the target, more often than not, of these criminal enterprises is handguns left in vehicles. And we know back from in Criminal Justice Committee, where we worked through this and having Representative Chambliss' support, because he said he knows all too well that the amount of violence and small arms fire that dominates Broward County is a direct result of the stolen handguns that are coming out of these vehicles. And so what this does is, again, sends a clear message and hopefully prevent that repeat offender who is simply out traveling the state looking for handguns. And so with that, I close and hope to have your favorable support.
Thank you. Okay, members, in just a moment we'll be voting, and I want to give everybody a reminder, when you vote, please turn on your microphone. Representative Snyder, having closed, Amara, please call the roll.
Chair Plakin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Caruso?
Yes.
Ranking Member Gottlieb?
Yes.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
No.
Byrd? Davis?
No.
Fernandez-Barkin?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Sabatini?
No.
Nine yeas, three nays, Mr.
So we'll show the bill passed. Congratulations. The bill's passed.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to now take up the consent agenda for the appropriations project bills. And again, we'll be voting on these five bills in their entirety. As a reminder, we will not take up question, debate, the user process on each of the bills individually. We'll do questions and debate only once. You can vote no on any particular bill by submitting a nay vote consent agenda form to Amura before the vote. And keep in mind that if we pass them, that these have the possibility of being funded, but certainly not the guarantee of being funded at the requested level. With that said, any questions? Seeing no appearance cards, any public testimony? Doesn't look like it. Any debate? Seeing no debate. Did anybody, any nay vote forms? Anybody? We'll just take a pause for a brief moment. It looks like we have a no form. Okay, we have one nay vote from Vice Chair Caruso on House Bill 3181. Okay, again, remember a yes vote is an affirmative vote on each bill, save the single nay vote here. And we'll go ahead and call the roll. Mara, please call the roll on the consent agenda.
Chair Plakin.
Yes.
Vice Chair Caruso.
Yes.
Ranking Member Gottlieb.
Yes.
Representatives Beltran.
No.
Benjamin.
Yes.
Byrd. Davis.
Yes.
Fernandez-Burkin?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Gregory?
No.
Learned?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Sabatini?
No.
Nine yeas, three nays.
The consent agenda passes. Is there any further business before the committee? Seeing none, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to start developing our budget, and we'll be keeping informed. And so that's the end of the meeting today. Representative Garrison moves me rise. Without objection, the meeting's adjourned.